This is Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith.
Remember this?
What's your name?
That was the chaotic scene in Oakland, California on the night of October 25th. Former Marine Scott Olson received serious head injuries after being shot at very close range by a police projectile clearing the Occupy Oakland site and streets. An investigation has been called into police action. The mayor has apologized. The injury to Olson invigorated Occupy Wall Street protesters and others around the country. By November 2nd, activists called for a general strike in Oakland. The results were mixed, with some unions cooperating, but the transit system, most institutions, and the big shipping port of Oakland remained opened until the evening, when a crowd of 1,000 grew upwards to 5,000 or more. They marched to the port gates and forced operations to shut down. Late that evening, I received emails and audio from several happy Oakland protesters and media activists who were satisfied with the peaceful occupation of the city that day. They went from this... to this... with hardly any police presence. But later that night, in the early hours with a dwindling crowd, there were break-ins, window smashing, and more confrontations with police. The next morning, November 4th, the Tent City called a meeting to discuss the destructive anarchists, as one blog called them. Occupy Oakland campers considered an apology and a work crew to clean up broken glass downtown. This is just one of the divisions and challenges in the midst of the Occupy movement. The majority favor nonviolence. A minority want to go further into violent revolution if need be. Meanwhile, a Radio EcoShock correspondent from the Bay Area, longtime media activist Karen Nyhus, has sent us a short series of on-the-scene recordings of another big topic in the Occupy movement, the role of the 99% in opposing governments dominated by fossil fuel billionaires intent on profiting from damage to our climate. Here we go. Actuality from the Occupy Oakland protesters, November 2nd, the day of the general strike.
We're here today at the Oakland General Strike, November 2nd, 2011, and we're with
Yael Falikov.
And your organization is?
Echo Viva.
Great. And what brings you to the general strike here today?
Well, you know, our organization works with 100 communities in El Salvador who are facing a major climate disaster. We work for climate justice. A lot of us in the 1980s and 90s stood with Central America as the U.S. government-backed regimes there that were oppressing their people. Now the U.S. fossil-fueled economy is affecting them equally badly. What's amazing is these communities who've been through war have organized. The communities we work with have organized to be prepared for climate change, and they had last week faced the worst flooding they've ever faced, and they were prepared. Their early warning systems, they were able to mobilize and save lives. So I'm here today because I want our economy to change from a corporate fossil fuel economy to an economy that makes sense for everyone globally, that protects the planet, and to stand with the people who are most vulnerable to the disasters caused by climate change. Because the economic piece is related. The economic injustice in this country comes from a fossil fuel-based economy, and that's something that has to change at its root.
So tell us a little bit more about how those communities in El Salvador organized, it sounds like 20 years ago, this early warning system and why they did that.
At the time that these communities resettled, these were communities of refugees who had been, whose villages had been burned down, whose families had been tortured, many times massacred. These were people who fled, and they lived for 11 years in refugee camps and in the jungles in Panama, Honduras, and Nicaragua. When they returned to El Salvador, they squatted on land that had been formerly plantations. They took this land, they demanded the right to it, and they won. And we've been accompanying their process ever since. When they won that land, the government, the right-wing U.S.-backed government at the time, did not want them there, but legally could not kick them out, had signed an agreement with them that they could stay. So instead, they used the dam upstream to flood them out year after year. And so they began to organize ex-combatants and ex-former guerrillas, former soldiers, former refugees, all began to organize together to stop the government from flooding them out. And just in case the government continued to flood them out, to be prepared. So we supported them, we funded them, we provided technical support to them to be able to have one of the most advanced early warning systems in a rural community anywhere. It's a radio-based system that allows them to mobilize within hours to be able to get everyone out of their communities in time when a flood comes.
So how many lives do you think were saved from this system now that we're dealing with the reality of climate change and catastrophic floods?
Well, it's hard to say, but I can say that during Hurricane Mitch, which was 11 years ago, thousands of people in Central America died. I don't know how many in our specific communities, but zero people died in our communities this time. There were 37 lives lost in El Salvador and 66 in Central America as a whole, you know, which I think also speaks to the fact that there's been, in El Salvador in particular, since the change of government, which happened 2 years ago, when there's finally a rise to power of the FMLN, which is the former guerrilla movement, the new government was much more able to respond and support people. But the people also are much more organized and ready.
So do you see a connection between the kind of grassroots organizing that happened for this flood alert system and the kind of grassroots organizing that's happening here in Oakland?
Absolutely, and I think it's more than just around flooding and climate change, but also around food justice. You see a lot here in Oakland. There's a huge food justice movement of people growing their own food, community gardens, community farmers markets. In El Salvador and the Bajo Lempo where we work, we've been supporting an organic farming movement for 15 years now, family gardens, food for people's subsistence. So that they can survive. And not only that, they're doing climate-adapted food gardens so that when a flood comes, they don't lose all their crops. And so there is a lot of parallel with what's happening here and in El Salvador, but I think in El Salvador, in some ways, it's more sophisticated, and we have a lot to learn from them. And I think that's something that we in U.S. social justice movements can look to other social justice movements.
That was media activist Karen Nyhus talking with Yael Falikoff of EcoViva November 2nd at the Oakland General Strike in California.
So we're here at Occupy Oakland. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, and there are thousands and thousands of people in the street. It's mid-afternoon, and I'm sitting here with
Shauna Gunderson,
and she was just telling me what brought her to Occupy and where she's from.
I'm from Santa Cruz. I'm from the Occupy in Santa Cruz, and I have no job. I have no health care, and I sleep on my mother's couch, and I don't have anything left to lose anymore, so I'm just going to stick my body wherever I can do the most damage to this system. I don't care anymore. I'm 57 years old. My kids are grown up. I have an education. I am at the end of my rope, and I actually feel quite free to not have a job, and I hope I never have another job because it keeps me from doing the most important work, which is what I'm doing right now, which is being part of this movement and being here at Ground Zero in Oakland with the people.
So you're from Santa Cruz, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you went down to Occupy LA as well. So how many Occupies have you been to, and what do you see?
This is the third Occupy that I've visited, and I just have to say this is the most exciting one. This is the most energized one, and what I saw when I went to Occupy LA was about 300 tents all crowded around the city hall, and it's all crowded around this giant phallic symbol of capitalism and culture and all these people, they formed all these different neighborhoods at the Occupy, and there were even AA meetings there, and there were public school teachers that lived at the occupation and got up and went to their classes. classes every single day. And there were all kinds of... I went to Carl's Jr. with a young woman in her pajamas, and she got up every week and went to chemotherapy from the occupation. And it's just... I mean, just talk about dedication and talk about being determined to live a life that is free of all this, the octopus, right? And then I mean, Santa Cruz has its own unique flavor where, you know, you've got teepees, you've got tents right on the river, and homeless there have been occupying forever, and so we've joined forces with them, and they've warned us about where to put tents and where the sprinklers are and what time the cops come, and so they have initiated us into another world. And this occupation here, it's like phenomenal. Look up here and see that we are right up against the power. We are right up against it, and where are they? They're hiding. They're scared. They're like, they don't know what to do. Well, they were here last week kicking a few people's butts, but they're hiding now, and they're scared because we're here to stay.
So what do you think's next?
Well, I think this thing is just going to keep growing and unfolding, and that people are going to stick it out through the rain and the snow, and other things are going to grow out of this. Other networks of support, and other kinds of communities, and more permanent ones, too. And I think that people are going to form... the most important thing about this is the sense of community and new communities forming and people getting out of their isolation. There's no such thing as a private life anymore. We can't survive without each other.
Well, I really appreciate your comments, and I want to just check if there's anything else you want to say.
Onward. We're winning.
On behalf of Radio EcoShock, thank you very much.
I'm Alex Smith. You're listening to a Radio EcoShock special on the general strike in Oakland, California, November 2nd. This was recorded on the scene by our media activist, Karen Nyhus.
So today, okay, we're here at Occupy Oakland, the general strike on Wednesday, November 2nd, and we're talking with...
Io.
And Io, what brought you down to Oakland today?
I just really feel like our government should be making decisions that benefit the people, not big corporations. And there's a billion ways in which they haven't done that. And I feel like there are a lot of smaller demands that could be made, but I can't think of a list of 3 or 5 or 20 or even 50 that would satisfy me if that one basic tenet isn't being upheld.
Is there anything that you see that hopeful on the horizon for that?
I'm hoping that government is hearing us. I think a lot of this right now is kind of directed at the corporations, and I'm not expecting them to hear us, but I do hope that government starts to recognize that there is a voter base behind these kind of things and that we will support things, propositions that benefit the people.
And how about for you personally, where you live, do you feel like your elected representatives hear your voice? Do you think they're going to hear us today? Those are two separate questions.
I think they hear us, but I don't think they're making decisions based on us. And I actually feel like the people who need to hear us are the voters. They're the ones that are going to make a difference. So I hope everyone here goes and votes for the things that are on their signs, because I think ultimately that's the only way this is going to translate into policy.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, so today we're here on Wednesday, November 2nd with Occupy Oakland and the general strike, and I'm standing here with...
Zara.
And your organization is?
Global Exchange.
And what does Global Exchange do?
Global Exchange is an international human rights organization. We work with economic, social, and environmental justice, so just different social justice issues affecting us internationally and domestically.
And what's Global Exchange doing specifically today with respect to the strike?
So Global Exchange is standing in solidarity with the Occupy Oakland movement by just being on the streets. Our fair trade stores are also contributing 9.9% of our income today and donating it to Occupy Oakland and Occupy DC. And just, you know, keeping the word out about the Occupy movement. And this week we're also going to be in DC to encircle the White House to tell Barack Obama to stop the Keystone XL pipeline.
And that's the tar sands, dirty tar sands oil coming down from Alberta, right?
Yes, yes. So we're just trying to get the different issues out. You know, we're all connected.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is a Radio EcoShock special covering Occupy Oakland. Let's keep in mind one big reason it started out on Wall Street in New York City is a widespread public feeling the banking system has become a giant casino with our savings and pensions. Nobody has to tell Californians about the mortgage mess, which is still ongoing. While 99% of us just keep on getting poorer, the top 1% of Americans have never made more money. The billion-dollar bonus machine just keeps pouring out the wealth for the wealthiest. That is a big part of what we found in Oakland. Americans who never dreamed they would have an interest in high finance are learning fast. Here is one clear explanation among many.
We're here today on Wednesday, November 2nd. We're in Oakland with the Occupy Oakland General Strike, and we're here with...
My name is Lance Olson, and I live in Oakland. I work in San Francisco, and I'm out here because I feel that the banks have gorged themselves on free money from the Fed, and they're way too big. They need to be split up, and they need to be dismantled.
And what does your sign say?
My sign says... The Fed lets B of A keep $75 trillion of derivatives in their FDIC-insured retail bank. Taxpayers cover the bets of millionaires.
So what's the story with that? What's going on?
So basically, they have these financial instruments called derivatives, which are essentially bets that could be on anything from the prices of a commodity to the price of a stock to the weather. And they have told the Fed that they have these derivatives in order to make themselves more stable. But what we saw in the last financial crisis was that they actually exposed them to tons and tons of systemic risk, even if on a day-to-day basis it might make them somewhat more stable. If everything goes down at once, they can just crumble.
So what's the story with them being FDIC insured? Why is that a problem? How'd that happen?
So in 1933, the Glass-Steagall Act separated the retail banks from the investment banks, and then in 1999, Bill Clinton, with a bipartisan coalition in Congress, repealed it, which basically means that now they can keep all of these risky financial instruments in the same banks that have our money and that can't go under because that's our money. They're FDIC insured. The government has guaranteed those bank accounts, so they can't let them fail. They've already agreed not to let them fail.
So you're saying that the derivatives will get bailed out if this bank crashes, right?
Yeah, they already did, and they will again. And banking consolidation has only gotten worse. Too big to fail has only gotten worse since the financial crisis. It hasn't gotten better. We have basically five banks in this country now.
And my understanding is that the 2005 bank, some kind of financial reform, states that the derivatives parties are the first ones to get their hands on assets in a bailout situation, and that depositors like you and me are further down the line. Do you know about that?
I'm actually not familiar with that.
Okay. And so how does your work here, your presence here, how does it fit in with the larger Occupy movement?
Well, I think the realization that Wall Street, and particularly the Wall Street banks, have taken over our political system and have taken over our economic system is what has motivated a lot of people to come out here. And, you know, Barack Obama came into office knowing that he had to bail out the banks. And I basically agreed with that the banks had to be bailed out. But then he got in the back pocket of all the Wall Street banks, and he's basically not pushing through a lot of executive orders and a lot of legislation that could limit their power and limit their ability to just depend on us for bailouts. He's not doing that.
So do you want to tell folks what's happening this Saturday?
Move your money?
Oh, yeah. On Saturday, a lot of people are going to be withdrawing all of their money from corporate banks and putting them into nonprofit credit unions. I've actually already done it, so I'm a little early, but it feels really good not to know that my money isn't being loaned out nine times over and wagered on all sorts of crazy things by the banks, and instead it's in a local institution that I have direct control over.
And how was the process for you? Was it difficult?
No, it was really easy. I went into Chase, and the banker I talked to asked me why I was taking all my money out, and I told him that I don't think that the bank should exist in its current form, and he laughed and he said, yeah, I actually agree.
Well, look, thank you very much for being here, and we're going to go back to occupying.
All right. Thanks for talking.
One more thing. Karen Nias told me by the evening of the general strike in Oakland, the crowd was swelling to tens of thousands of ordinary people. Even with a big broad city boulevard, it took 2 hours for the steady river of people to arrive. I've got a couple of songs from the Occupy movement. Who knows, maybe we'll get some good music out of this period of awakening, just like the 1960s. We'll start out with a short one from the Canadian singer Thistle called Change, Change.
Newspapers flying by, TV reporters crying.
committed to it. We're still committed to it. Change, change. You don't know what to do. It's not really up to you. You're under too much stress to think you can deal with this. We all do feel the same. Nobody's really to blame. We're all a part of it. But what can we do about it? We're all a part of it. But what can we do? The best thing that you can do is know it's all up to you. And need to change how it is if we wanted it to exist. The best thing that you can do is know it's all up to you. And need to change how it is if we wanted it to exist.
We close out this Radio EcoShock Occupy Oakland special with a taste of a new song for the movement by troubadour David Rovics. I'll just play part of this song. It's a rough cut. This was captured live at Occupy Wall Street in New York on an iPhone. Rovics tells me he is headed into the studio next week to make the real recording. Look for his new Occupy Wall Street song when it comes out at davidrovics.com. I'm Alex Smith. Thanks for joining us. Come along every Sunday night at 10:30 here on Progressive Talk Radio, Green 960 AM, San Francisco.
Because this is where they buy the politicians. Because this is where the power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street. Because all of us are victims of class warfare being waged on us by the 1%. Because these greedy banksters robbed the country, leaving us without the means to pay the rent. Because the last time that we had a decent government was about 1932. Because we the people are supposed to run this country, but instead it's all run by and for the few. Because now we know the rich do not pay taxes, but when they need a hand, it's us who bail them out. Because we suspected we lived in a plutocracy, but suddenly of late there is no doubt, and so we're gonna stay.
You've been listening to a Radio EcoShock special from the scene of the Oakland General Strike, November 2nd, 2011. All recordings are by media activist Karen Nyhus. Thank you, Karen. Keep it up. If you have audio for EcoShock, use usendit.com to send your MP3 file to this address, radio@ecoshock.org. Maybe you should send me a line before sending me big files. Let me know. We'll see if we're interested. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening.